everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Emily Bean. Emily is the Senior Vice President for the Cyber Risk Institute. She previously served as Project Manager of the RAND Corporation's Homeland Security Operational Analysis Center, where she developed high-visibility strategies and products for the Department of Homeland Security. Prior to joining RAND Corporation, Ms. Beam served as the Senior Professional Staff for the Committee of Homeland Security with the U.S. House of Representatives. In that role, she advised members of Congress and contributed to numerous pieces of legislation related to national security and DHS management issues. While on the committee, Ms. Beam was selected to participate in the Stanford University Congressional Fellowship Program through the Hoover Institution. Ms. Beam also spent 7 years as a project manager and senior analyst at the U.S. Government Accountability's Office, where she led projects investigating waste, fraud, and abuse in the executive branch. While at GAO, she helped identify over $1.5 billion in financial cost savings to taxpayers and contributed to reports with dozens of recommendations to improve government operations. Ms. Beam holds a master's in arts in public service and administration from Texas A&M University and a bachelor of arts in government from the University of Texas at Austin. And she currently resides in Austin, Texas. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're super excited to have you on. I'm really looking forward to our topic today. But first, here at Banking Matters, we always love to hear how our guests got their start in the financial services industry.
Yeah, well, you can hear through my background that it's a pretty circuitous route into financial services. Really, it's through a former colleague and friend of mine from House Homeland Security who was working for the Cyber Risk Institute and said, hey, you know, I think you'd really enjoy it here, working for a great leader who's really kind of a visionary in terms of cyber regulatory harmonization and compliance. And so that's how I moved on over into financial services and have been here for a number of years now. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's awesome. So today I would really love to dig into who is Cyber Risk Institute and what do you guys do?
Yeah, that's a good question that many people start with. Cyber Risk Institute is a not-for-profit coalition of financial institutions. We're about 70 members or so. And we're really looking to standardize cyber through standardization. And so we really began back in 2016. The NIST Cybersecurity Framework had just come out. We were seeing many financial institutions beginning to move to that as sort of their organizational taxonomy and framework. And at the same time, we began really hearing from financial institutions that, you know, they needed a way to better organize new cyber regulations and respond to compliance obligations and really better understand some overlap. So to really better understand the problem, we did a survey of chief information security officers and found that about 40% of their time was spent on compliance related activities rather than frontline defense. And so then we did what many do, a mapping exercise. We took those cyber expectations, about 2,500 of them, and mapped them to the NIST Cybersecurity Framework and found that, you know, we really got pretty good topical overlap, really, from what regulators were asking out of financial institutions. It's just asking it in different ways. So we kind of took the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, tailored it for financial services, and published it. Regulators came, said some really nice things about it and said, oh, by the way, you know, you really should be an independent organization. And so that's how CRI, you know, stood up. Those same organizations that sort of started with that initial mapping exercise sort of formed CRI and have been an independent organization now since for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. So that's how
awesome.
We began. Yeah.
And so with the profile that you guys have created, how is this specifically used for compliance?
Sure. So our fundamental principle for the profile really is fill out once, report out many. It really kind of customizes the NIST CSF to make it applicable to financial services. It's actually called a profile because NIST asked for that in the initial CSF version 1 and really talked about the importance of CSF framework profiles. So we used really largely the same functions, categories, subcategories as the NIST CSF. We extend it down into what we call diagnostic statements, but are really control objectives that take and synthesize really where 10 different regulators are saying, hey, you need MFA. We synthesize that into one statement and then point back out to those regulatory expectations so that a financial institution could fill that out, describe what they're doing for MFA. And then when regulators come in and ask, or auditors come in and ask, about it. They have, you know, a singular sort of starting point and reference, and they can customize those responses for compliance. And so that's really the fundamental principle of the profile.
And so how can somebody take the profile and kind of expand it out into other areas like cloud or AI? Because that is a huge thing coming down the pipe that I know that banks have got to be prepared to look at and digest and like really determine what they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the beauty of a NIST kind of based approach is that it is extensible. So what we've done for cloud is really take the NIST cybersecurity framework, extend it out into cloud services. We started with really a mapping to the cloud security alliances, cloud control matrix. We actually brought in the major cloud service providers as well to hammer out what are the contractual responsibilities for that financial institutions have and that cloud service providers have. We've also developed a shared implementation checklist where a financial institution can kind of fill out where their responsibilities are, what they're exactly doing to fulfill control objective. The cloud service provider does the same thing. And so you've got really a good starting point and reference. So when auditors or regulators come in and want to see, okay, who is actually responsible for this aspect and where is that baton pass happening to the CSP, it's crystal clear from the outset. And so we've done quite a bit of that work related to cloud. We published that earlier this year, really at a joint press conference with Treasury. The financial regulators were there as well, the OCCU, as well as the Sector Coordinating Council. And so that has been a really important effort in really trying to assimilate cloud into like a broader CSF-based approach. For emerging technologies, I mean, AI is obviously the hot topic for everyone right now. We've been really thoughtful about how we might provide some guidance around AI. There's a lot of great resources out there. The FS-ISAC has a lot of good material. BPI, the Bank Policy Institute, has put out some good white papers as well around model risk management and what does that look like for AI. But we have seen a gap, and this was identified actually by U.S. Treasury, and they had a report on AI that kind of looked at, took a stock take of where AI was within financial services. And they really pointed out to a gap in terms of the NIST AI RMF and the way that financial institutions could actually pick that up and use it. So we've just begun an effort really on behalf of the sector that's taking the NIST AI RMF, the CRI profile, and some other global standards and guidance to help kind of operationalize that so that it's much easier for financial institutions to kind of bite off the AI RMF by NIST in kind of meaningful chunks, know where they stand and really contemplate where the control objectives and how those connect to risks are. So we're really excited about that work. That'll be really probably a year-long effort, but that'll be really, I think, helpful for financial institutions.
I 100% agree. Most of our members, and especially the banks that we serve on the VCO side where I am at, they are small community banks, and they definitely are digging down and trying to figure out how they can bring on this new technology, just like cloud and AI and everything, and be able to use it properly. So with just, and I'm thinking of everything from a community bank standpoint, where do you guys stand as far as like what regulators are saying about the profile and how to incorporate it? Because I know you guys are one of the profiles that they've recommended now that CAD is being sunset. So why don't you like dig into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So central to our approach really is engagement with the regulatory community. And you heard me say that earlier when we talked about that first announcement. We take our mappings to the regulators themselves so that they can review where we're aligned and where we're not, and we incorporate their feedback. And through that, we're also working to get some level of public acknowledgement and potentially acceptance so that institutions can use it for compliance. And so recognition from those stakeholders kind of ranges. So U.S. Treasury has referenced the cloud profile in its report on cloud use. We've also received some acknowledgement by New York Department of Financial Services, where they actually were really helpful in our mapping to Part 500 of their expectations. They actually put out an FAQ on their website that talked about the profile as well. We've also engaged, not with regulator, but we've engaged recently with the Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, within DHS to make sure that those minimum baseline requirements that they've been putting out for critical infrastructure, the cyber performance goals, were aligned to the CSF. So we've got, and they've publicly acknowledged us as well. But obviously the CAT sunset announcement is huge. And that happened on August 29th. And with that, obviously financial institutions have about a year to be able to transition away from the CAT as it gets sunset. In that statement, the FFIEC pointed to two government frameworks and two industry frameworks. So within the government frameworks, they talked about the NIST-CSF. And as I mentioned, you know, the profile really is the same as the NIST-CSF. It's just extended and tailored for financial services. So if you do the profile, you're essentially doing CSF. They also mentioned CISA's CPGs, which, as I mentioned, we helped tailor and make sure that they were matching the CSF. They also referenced something called the financial sector, financial services sector specific goals, the FSSGs, which actually are based on the profile. And those, my understanding is that those will be coming out relatively soon as well. And so you'll be seeing those and the profile being one and the same. And then they mentioned the Center for Internet Security, a great framework as well, and as well as the CRI profile. But we really do kind of see the profile is like the Rosetta Stone, where you can pivot among those different frameworks.
Absolutely. And so I think my next question will be, especially for members and listeners that are listening, is how do you go about bringing on the profile, using the profile, working with third parties? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, to bring on the profile, all of our materials are available for free on our website. You can go download the Excel spreadsheet today. But it is an Excel spreadsheet. And I don't know how many people are like, oh, yes, more spreadsheets for me to live in. That sounds wonderful. But you're more than welcome to do that. We also have about 300-page guidebook, which is a Word document that takes every diagnostic statement, provides explanatory text around like what exactly does this mean and why, the tiers that it's the type of institution that it's applicable to. As well as examples of effective evidence. So where you might correlate what you need for exams or compliance for the profile. So those are two readily available resources that you're more than welcome to use. Part of our mission as an organization is also to provide our members with the materials and the help that they need to help implement the profile well. And so we have training materials that are coming out shortly. We have a free online tool that actually has a very cool drag and drop feature. So you can take your CAT spreadsheet, import it, and it will auto-populate into the profile using our mappings. And it won't get, it's not perfect. You know, it's not going to get you 100% of the way there because there are differences between the CAT and the profile. The profile is a bit more expansive. It's been updated regularly, almost annually, ever since we've begun. But it'll get you about 2/3 of the way there. And so it's a great starting point. And then we have a pretty robust membership where folks who are sharing lessons learned about profile implementation. And so it's something that we really value a lot for our members.
Absolutely. And again, I'm looking at this through a lens of one person IT department where CAT has been their burden forever. And now it's shifting because this has been in place for like the last 9-10 years. And now they're having to go. But hearing that this is available and y'all have taken your profile and like geared it directly towards the financial institutions, that's going to be such a huge help. And so what does it look like as far as control automations, like for continuous monitoring? Are you guys looking at that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the future as far as we see it. I mean, folks want to move, obviously, from point-in-time assessments to, regular real-time understanding of my control environment and then being able to report out on that. There are some organizations out there that are, working toward that. I can't say that seems to be, ubiquitous at this point. But one way that we're trying to do that is through the OSCAL, through NIST, it is a machine readable format language. We have really a mapping to OSCAL that we're validating. And so that really takes the profile's diagnostic statements, breaks it down into much more granular detail so that you can really enable that automation. So we see that as something that will absolutely happen in the future. We also, and I should have mentioned this earlier as we were talking about, ways to get started. We have a group called the Innovators for CRI that are really, they're not financial institution members, but they're those really important organizations that are helping assist financial institutions all the way from, you know, assessments to control monitoring. And so, for example, one of them is doing continuous control monitoring on a subset of our diagnostic statements for members. And so, you know, I definitely think that's the future. We'll see that probably in the next 12 months or so. And so kind of exciting developments on that front.
Yeah, I think that would definitely let things be more accurate and intimate instead of you do this once a year, but so much can change, especially in this realm of things, in just a year. Regulatory wise and advances for sure.
Absolutely. When your control environment changes, the risk changes, the threat landscape is constantly evolving. You know, I think that's just a natural sort of next phase in terms of you know, cyber risk and better understanding.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Emily. As we wrap up, we always like to ask our guests, what's one piece of advice you would like to leave our listeners with?
You know, that's a great question. I'd say from a CRI perspective, you know, our kind of our mantra is like, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, let's find kind of common solutions that are helpful to the most amount of people as possible. And, you know, I think it's just really important to collaborate as well. So a lot of what we're doing as an organization is producing content, making sure that our members can review and validate and that their views are incorporated into the final product. So that's kind of our principal mission as an organization.
I love that. Well, that's it for today. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.